All rise.
Welcome to the Cyber Law and Business Report. Get the top story on the hot button internet legal topics of the day. This is your home for the latest on internet law and policy. Hear the latest net trends impacting business and have your questions answered right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report. Now, please welcome your host, the founder of the Internet Law Center, Bennett Kelly.
Good morning. This is Bennett Kelly, and welcome to our 150th broadcast. It's been a lot of fun these 4 years, and I want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us for each of these, and all our wonderful guests who have made this possible. And, of course, our excellent producer, Brasco. Thanks. But we have a great show for you today, so please be seated. We're going to be... We've talked a lot about big data in the past in terms of its privacy implications and how it's being used in different applications. I'm going to talk about it in a different context, one you may not have seen. We've heard about much it being used by religious institutions. And we have with us Michael Santacola, who's going to talk about that in our first segment. And then our second segment, we're fortunate to have a special guest, a former assistant managing editor of the USA sports page, Scott Zucker. And he's going to give us an insight into the 2014 NFL season and other breaking sports stories. For those of you who may not know, today is Internet Slowdown Day. And is a mass internet protest designed to drum up support for net neutrality, with the concept being to demonstrate that concerns that ISPs will slow down traffic or create fast lanes in the event that the FCC does not adopt a net neutrality. In other news, Yelp won an important victory, and we'll talk about that later. In addition, Ripoff Report, we had Ben Smith on our show to talk about his investigation of Ripoff Report. Well, last week was the first indictment issued, and all information about that is on the Internet Law Center's blog, ILC Cyber Report at WordPress.com. Today is also World Suicide Day, and Prevention Day, and it's designed to raise awareness and to encourage people to take steps to find out how they can help prevent that. And we also say, we'll talk about in the second segment, a little rest in peace to Marvin Bad News Barnes. He was probably the greatest athlete to ever come from my neighborhood, and he died this week at 62. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the hot issues of the day in internet law, and we'll have Scott Zucker after these messages. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Building better search engine rankings takes the right formula. Tracking those ranks is super simple.
All you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
Authority Labs uses automated daily rank tracking tools to monitor your site's performance or leverage their API to build your own tools. No matter what animal-labeled algorithms affect your ranking,
you should be using Authority Labs.
Unlimited users for no additional cost and white labeling can help keep your clients updated and save countless hours of creating reports. Whether you're running sites with just a few or millions of keywords,
what you need is AuthorityLabs.com.
InternetMarketingNinjas.com is the online dojo of the highly trained and skilled Internet Marketing Ninjas. Disavow documents, reconsideration requests, Panda and Penguin penalties. Let our superior SEO ninjas confront all of your link-related issues. The Internet Marketing Ninjas are equipped to master any marketing exercise, content creation, authorship, link building, PPC, and more. Plus, build more buzz for your brand with our social media marketing strategy. Discover all that the Internet Marketing Ninjas can do for you. Visit the online dojo now at InternetMarketingNinjas.com.
Johnson, what's this mantis I keep hearing about? Do we need to call an exterminator?
No, sir. Moby Mantis is our new SMS marketing tool.
SM what?
SMS. Text messaging. Moby Mantis lets us communicate directly with our customers in real time. We can send promos, coupons. It even lets our customers market for us by sharing offers with their friends online. It's been great for business.
Sounds expensive.
Actually, I signed us up for an extended free trial. It hasn't cost us a dime.
Good work, Johnson. I guess the only thing we'll be exterminating is the competition.
To get your free extended trial of Moby Mantis, text RADIO to 21691. That's RADIO to 21691 for Moby Mantis.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today at BruceClay.com.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And we're back. You're listening to Cyber Law and Business Report on Webmaster Radio. This is Bennett Kelly broadcasting live from the Internet Law Center here in Santa Monica. And we have with us Scott Zucker, who had up until recently was the assistant managing editor of the USA Today sports page. And Scott, are you with us?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks for joining us, Scott. And full disclosure, Scott and I go way back. He was my fraternity big brother. Many, 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 many years ago. And but one of the fun parts of having a show and is being able to sometimes go off topic. And especially when you can get a good guest to talk about something that's really interesting and fun. And so I got the opportunity to grab Scott at this stage of the NFL season, and I thought it would be a great thing to let's get some insights from Scott on what his work has been. And Scott, you've been covering sports now for close to 30 years, or and you've mainly focused on baseball and football.
Primarily, although I've done a lot of different stuff over the years. I did a lot of college basketball for a little bit there, and some NBA mixed in.
So we were talking earlier, and you mentioned over the weekend that you actually were at Cal Ripken's game where he broke Lou Gehrig's record for the most games played consecutively, the Ironman record that many people thought would never be broken. And I imagine you've also seen a number of other kind of historic events. What are the ones that you'll always remember?
Well, like the Cal game, certainly, because there's so much build-up to it. I was covering baseball then for one of the wire services, and I'm based in Washington, so I got to know Cal a little bit, going out to the Orioles a lot, and I had written, 10 stories on Cal over the course of that season and at all the games leading up to it. And there was a genuine, in the press box, people got chills off of that because it was such a sort of historic moment. I was sitting next to Mike Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, who in those days were just the Washington Post columnists. They weren't part of doing PTI yet, I don't think. And, those guys had seen a lot more than I had, and they were both pretty taken aback by the moment. One of the coolest things that I saw was during the 96 Olympics, I was doing the boxing, and Olympic boxing, really, who cares? But but Ali had been there all through the Olympics, and he showed up at the boxing venue, and as he's, sort of walking down, you can hear the crowd start to notice them, and there's a hush kind of coming over the crowd and whispering, and then all of a sudden the chants USA, USA go up for Ali, and he sort of waves, stops, acknowledges, waves to everybody, and it was really kind of a pretty cool moment. Another one where veteran sports writers stopped what they were doing and looked up and paid attention, which was kind of neat. And then later on, that happened. Bruce Willis showed up with Demi Moore. They were married at the time. And there was a big buzz about that, and I thought, well, that sort of takes away from the whole Ali thing.
But, yeah, the Ali thing is interesting because, you know, he had thrown his gold medal into the Louisville River or the Ohio River, whatever the river is that goes through Louisville. And because of his, you know, his treatment over the draft. And but going back to Cal Ripken, there's something I think people have to explain about him. That there was something unique going to an Orioles game and just watching the way people reacted to Cal. I think, you know, there's only a few ball players in my career I've seen people react to in that way. You know, he generally was a hero to that community. He's from the community. He played there all his life.
Genuinely beloved.
Yes.
I mean, you can throw that word around a lot, but he was truly beloved. I would say that, I mean, actually right now, there's a guy you can equate that to in the Jeter situation. And I think, but those are sort of few and far between. And it's the whole thing of, you know, a guy staying with the same team his whole career, becoming so identified with the city. You know, Cal had roots in the organization. His dad had been a long-time Oriole coach. His brother was playing for the team at the time as second baseman, Billy.
That's the amazing thing about Cal, was that they fired his dad and they traded his brother and he stayed.
Yeah, I mean, they get it. It's baseball. It's amazing that his dad had stayed there that long. And his dad did ascend to become manager, but no, that didn't work out. There was a reason. Usually when there's long-time coaches, there's a reason they're long-time coaches and not managers, and I think that's what they found out.
Yeah, he had the streak, right? Didn't they had that one really long losing streak, and wasn't that with Cal's dad?
Yes, they had that horrible start where they started the season at, like, I want to say 0-19 or something like that.
It was something like that, and they replaced him with Frank Robinson. And I read recently, just a couple weeks ago, that Ronald Reagan called Robinson, since at the time Washington didn't have a team, and said, you know, Frank, I just want you to know that, you know, I know what you're going through, and, you know, we're rooting for you. And Robinson apparently said, with all due respect, Mr. President, you have no idea. But
that sounds a lot like Frank Robinson.
So, being based in Washington, you know, a couple of years ago, Washington finally made it to the playoffs for the first time in something like 50 years. Is there talk in Washington, and do you think it's possible that there could be a Beltway World Series, or at least a World Series in Washington?
I think it's a possibility. I mean, the Nationals, that's a really nice pitching staff. They've got a solid closer in Serrano. I like their lineup pretty good. They've been missing Ryan Zimmerman, who's one of their marquee guys for a good part of the season. If they were to get him back for the playoffs, I think that would really boost their chances.
So
I think
who
the Orioles?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think the Orioles are kind of a odd situation because that's not a team with a lot of huge star power. One of their best players, Matt Weider, the catcher, is out for the year. He's been out, you know, since May, I want to say. They've gotten contributions in a lot of different places. Surprise season. Nelson Cruz, who was part of the group that got suspended last year in the steroid scandal, you know, nobody wanted to touch him this offseason, and then he's come on and been, you know, one of the best power hitters in the American League.
So, who do you think is going to go to the World Series?
Oh, I'm never right about this stuff, Ben. You know that. I think the AL is really tough to pick because there's so many sort of decent teams. Nobody jumps out. I mean, for a while there, it looked like the A's were the team to beat. And
yeah,
then they just went in the tank. The Angels have a tremendous amount of talent, but I don't know. They never seem to be able to put together a long streak. Kansas City Royals are one of the best records in the American League. to the Kansas City Royals. I never think they're going to be in the World Series. So I mean, it's interesting. Why not? I'll say it's going to be the Orioles, and I'm going to go with the Dodgers in the National League.
Well, I think the Dodgers are definitely a hard team to beat when they have such a great pitching staff. I mean, particularly with Kershaw.
Kershaw is the best pitcher in baseball by a mile right now. Zach Greinke's a very, very good pitcher. I mean, they have a lot of talent there. They're good. They have a consistent closer, which is huge in the postseason. And they got a pretty good lineup. Yasiel Puig, he can't be in one of those funks, or they're not going to go anywhere. But if he's showing the talent that we know he can have, I think they can go very far.
The interesting thing is once they make the playoffs, half the people in LA will finally get to be able to see them. You know, they've just been this season long the contract dispute between Time Warner Cable and the other cable vendors over, you know, broadcasting Dodger games. And so the only people right now in LA who can watch the Dodgers are either when they're on a national network or if they have Time Warner Cable.
Well, the funny thing about that dispute is, and these things pop up a lot, disputes between cable companies and leagues and teams and distribution rights and how much they're going to pay. And there's always, and these things, every year, every sport's got some variation of that. Usually it resolved in like a week, you know, because
right. They
say, well, we're not going to go, we're not going to go for the season, not letting fans see these games, you'll get killed. But this one, apparently, it's LA, so they figure what the heck.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's too much money on the table, or maybe they figure LA fans are just indifferent. I don't know. I think there is
a certain amount of stat of that. I think the LA offers so many opportunities. There's always sort of consternation over how much the fan base is really invested.
Right. Well, the wrap on us here is that we have so many other things, entertainment options. Plus, we have the nice weather. We can go outside, and that's the thing. You're competing. Have a lot of a competition for that entertainment dollar. But
absolutely, and I think that's part of the reason why there's still not an NFL team in LA.
Well, actually, I remember. It's funny. I moved out here 20 years ago, and my second month here was the last month of the season, and it was a Raiders-Chiefs game, and that's just such a classic rivalry. I said, I should go to that, but then it was middle of Christmas shopping. I said, well, I'll go next season, and of course they moved, and a lot of people are like, hey, it's great they moved. There's no blackout. I can now watch NFL games. To get two NFL games instead of just the Raiders or the Rams, and a lot of people think it's a great thing.
Oh, see, there you go. And there's a lot of speculation. Roger Goodell, when he was one of the deputy commissioners, was a big advocate of getting a team in L.A. And a lot of people thought as soon as he got in as commissioner, that was going to be one of the first things that happened. But I think they looked at the demographics and they looked at the audience share and figured, this may not work as an NFL city anymore.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, I think, like you said, there's a lot of options there. There's great year-round weather. And I think building a fan base, or rebuilding in the case of LA, now is very difficult because you can watch any game on TV now. It's not like you have to watch your local game. Just get the Sunday ticket. You can, you're a Patriots fan. You can watch every Patriots game if you want, just by getting the Sunday ticket. You can watch it home. You can watch it on your iPad or at the beach. So why bother getting season tickets for a game? Also, it's a heck of a lot more comfortable to watch it in the comfort of your living room on a giant, 60-inch TV in high def, which is going to give you better angles than being there with just a sharpened experience. You don't have to go spend a lot of money at this point to go sit out and pay $12 for a beer, and, have to listen to the drunks in the section next to you, and, just be squeezed into a seat and have to pay a lot for parking. Especially in L.A., I imagine, getting to the game is an adventure. So
right, although the stadium they were talking about would be downtown, near the current Staples Center, and so, but yeah, I mean, and you, one other thing that's in the news, and it kind of ties into what we normally cover is internet law, and that is the Federal Communications Commission is actually pushing, and is pushing the NFL to remove its blackout rule.
Well, I think that's a rule that's time is coming down. I mean, at this point, the notion that it's going to sell more tickets, it's ridiculous. People are going to go or they're not going to go. They can, like I said, they can go other places and get the game. I think it makes no sense to do that at this point for them. You know, they black out games every year in certain cities. For a long time, Detroit, had a game or two blacked out every year. Or Jacksonville, which, has been some horrendous teams, and
That's an act of mercy.
Exactly. That's a tough draw there. But, I don't think anybody's going to suddenly say, I'm going to go, I didn't have the $200 to go take me and my kid to a game before now, but because they're blocking it out on TV, I'm suddenly going to do it.
Exactly. Now, one question that's kind of curious, since, given that you've been a reporter for a number of years and covered this during a period of rapid technological change. I mean, we're talking about Cal Ripken, and that's just the dawn of kind of the internet age. And now you have all these players getting in trouble based on something they tweeted or emailed. And how has, the technology and social media, how has it affected, your coverage of sports, and how has it changed?
It's changed everything. I mean, it's literally completely changed the business in a multitude of ways, not the least of which it's, helped drive newspapers out of business, which is, a situation close to my heart. I was talking to Bob Nightingale the other day. Bob is USA Today's longtime baseball columnist. And Bob was saying, he was sitting at a game and he was tweeting about something that was going on in the game. The guy next to him was putting something up on Instagram. The guy next to him was blogging something. And he said, and he looked at the three of them, and I can't remember who they were, a couple of long-time baseball guys. And he said, he turned to one of them and said, hey, remember when covering baseball was fun? Because it changes the way that we in the media do our jobs. It also changes the way in which we report. It changes the way athletes have interacted with fans. For the most part, if you're an athlete or a team and you want to communicate with fans, you can do that directly. You don't need the media now. Every team has a website. Every team has a Twitter account. Every player, it seems like, has a Twitter account.
Right.
Which often gets them in trouble. But if they want to reach directly to the fans, they can do that. And so much reporting is done via Twitter now that it's scary, and it's not necessarily a good thing, because stuff shows up on Twitter that's not confirmed, that's not reported out. It's just someone puts it up, and then now when they're rushed to be first to get that clip,
right,
you get a lot of careless reporting.
So, yeah.
The Dallas police, I'm blanking out on the player now. Dallas police released the name of a player who they had arrested for drunk driving. Well, it turned out that it wasn't the actual player. It was the player's brother who had a very similar name.
How about that?
It might have been, I want to say it's the Aqib Talib, the cornerback from the Denver Broncos, who's, got a little bit of an unusual first name. His brother's name is similar, and he was arrested, and they put the wrong name out there, and that got picked up everywhere. The only fortunate thing was it was a Sunday morning in the summer, so not that many people jumped on it right away.
Right, and it wasn't occurred during football season. Yeah.
It would have gone viral in about 5 seconds, and everybody would have that on their face.
So, and you know, I know out here, you just coverage based on, you know, Kobe Bryant's, you know, Twitter, that makes news. You know, certain things he says.
Oh yeah.
And you know, what pictures he posts and who he friends and unfriends. You know, that says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, there are any number of players in various sports, no matter what they put up on Twitter, it's news. Kobe, Tiger Woods, LeBron, the Williams sisters, you know, across the spectrum, anything they put up there is going to get retweeted and picked up.
And, you know, they have millions of fans. Some of them, you know, have larger fan bases than the teams itself.
Well, the interesting thing is sure, for the superstars, that makes sense. But there's certain players who sort of have developed a reputation for being either pretty funny or controversial or just out there on Twitter, who normally no one would even know who they are. You know, the 24th guy on the baseball team. But they have that reputation, and so they've sort of enhanced their brand. They've enhanced their brand via the ability to be witty on Twitter.
Well, we're going to take the opportunity to be not necessarily witty, but profitable. We're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we'll have Scott Zucker talking more about sports. In particular, we're going to get his picks for the 2014 NFL season. Who will the Patriots play in the Super Bowl? After these messages.
Stay tuned for more of the Cyber Law and Business Report after this brief recess for our sponsors.
Before you painstakingly create another label or drag yourself to the post office, set a course to ShipStation, your key to e-commerce shipping nirvana. Save time by easily importing orders from wherever you sell, like Amazon, eBay, and over 40 others. Save money with discounted USPS rates and a free USPS account. Automate manual tasks through bulk label and invoice printing, custom shipping rules, and much more. WebmasterRadio.fm listeners get an additional 30 days free after the free 30-day trial. Go to ShipStation.com/WebmasterRadio now. Shipping Nirvana starts here.
Oh, yeah. My day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use CertifiedKnowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brett Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Looking for a better way to get more traffic and interaction to your Facebook page? Imagine Facebook interactivity on your page like you've never seen. Introducing your new Facebook marketing fix, ZoSocial, the new and revolutionary way to easily manage and automate your Facebook contests and sweepstakes. Create a fun, easy-to-win contest by writing a simple Facebook post. Watch your post go more viral and generate loads of interaction. Track your traffic and generate email lists with ease. ZoSocial is mobile-friendly and complies with Facebook terms of service. Let ZoSocial give your Facebook page some flash today. Zoom over to ZoSocial.com.
The best gavel-to-gavel legal news and information on the net is right here. This is the Cyber Law and Business Report, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And we're back for our special 150th edition. We're talking to Scott Zucker, longtime sports writer. And with the NFL season here, Scott, who do you think will be celebrating come January?
That's, I always like to make this pick after week one when we know absolutely nothing. I think the two teams we saw open the season, the Packers and Seahawks, are the two teams I really like best in the NFC. I think the Seahawks defense is just stifling. And if they can keep healthy for the year, which is, you know, always difficult in the NFL.
That's a challenge.
Their offense looks great on Monday night. But, you know, Percy Harvin's going to be a key there who, you know, he's had a history of injury. He's not a huge guy, but he's such an impact player. If he stays healthy, that'll be a key of their season. And the other key for them on offense, of course, is the running game. And they're, you know, they've got a lot of miles on their running game, and keeping healthy there will, you know, be the other key for them. For the Packers, there's no way they're as bad as they looked on that Monday night game. I think Aaron Rodgers is right now probably the best quarterback in the NFL. And I think, again, his receiving core is going to be the key. They've had a lot of injuries there in the last few years. Keeping Jordy Nelson healthy and in the game, he was not involved on the season opener, and they have to get him more involved. But if they can accomplish that, I think they can give him a run for the money. On the AFC side, sorry, Bennett, but I think we both know your Patriots are not going to be involved in the Super Bowl this year.
Who do you see it being? Certainly not the Jets.
Unfortunately, no, not the Jets. The Jets have way too much inexperience, especially at quarterback, and their running game, I think, should be pretty good, and they've got a lot of questions in their secondary. I think there's a good chance we could see Peyton Manning back in there. That's a really good team. A lot will depend on when they get Wes Welker back and if he can stay contributing. You know, he's the key to their offense, the slot receiver there, and a favorite target for him. They do have a lot of options, a lot of guys, but I think Peyton's comfort level with Welker is going to be a key there. Otherwise, there's another week one matchup. The team they played, the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck is on the rise. He is the guy that everybody's going to be talking about in 5 years. You know, the first year, a lot of talk about RG3, a lot of talk about Colin Kaepernick. Russell Wilson won the Super Bowl last year. All those guys have potential to be pretty good quarterbacks. Andrew Luck's already there. He's the guy. And I think if that team can perform around him, they could be very, very good. They could make a Super Bowl run as soon as this year, but it may take a year or two for that defense to catch up to their offense.
Yeah, I mean, you universally hear from other commentators that, you know, Luck is just, you know, several steps ahead of all the other quarterbacks, at least as his contemporaries, and that he already is in the league of Manning and Brady and Rodgers.
You know, what you need to see is the ability to rally his team and come back to get it against a pretty good Denver defense on Sunday night. And he's just one of those sort of natural leaders. He's got the full skill set. And what people don't realize is he's a pretty mobile quarterback. He looks like a big doofus out there, but he's actually pretty mobile. And I saw a stat before the season that he was the second most rushing touchdowns for a quarterback the last couple of years.
Oh.
You know, people just don't think of him that way, but he has the ability to move. He's fairly fleet of foot, and he knows what he's doing, and he's very good at moving around in the pocket and sort of just scooting away from guys.
So who's your sleeper team?
Oh, boy. Mom never write about the sleeper teams. I'm going to say, who's my sleeper team?
We can come back to that.
I'm tempted to give you the Jets on that, but I'm gonna resist that temptation and say I would say the Chargers probably.
Yeah, they've always been the thing. That's an interesting franchise. They've always been a team on the verge, and
yeah, they never quite seem to get over the hump.
Exactly.
But I like the coaching staff. I like Philip Rivers. Well, I don't really like Philip Rivers. I like Philip Rivers' game. And I think, again, this is one of those, it depends on how their defense reacts, really.
So what was your first football game you went to?
First football game I ever went to?
Yeah.
Oh, Jets Bills, probably
with OJ
70. Yeah. So yeah, it would have been OJ. I remember more Emerson Boozer, but that's just me. Emerson never killed anybody, so you know.
That's true. Or tried to kidnap someone. I saw OJ play, and interestingly enough, he ran for like 4 yards, and I don't know if he wasn't happy with the hit he got, and got into a fight and was ejected. This was the year after his 2,000 yard season, but so it was kind of interesting. He did have a temper, I guess, and
apparently. My legal advisor now tells me that I should have said allegedly.
Alleged. Yeah. Now, going back to there's a lot of controversies right now in the NFL. You had obviously all the talk this week about the Rice and his knockout punch to his now wife, and there's controversies now in I guess Dallas. Jerry Jones has just got hit with a lawsuit, and but the big one is the one in your hometown is the Washington Redskins. Where do you see that controversy going?
Well, that's been really interesting because, shockingly, Daniel Snyder's been very stubborn about it. There's really nothing in his history to tell us that Daniel Snyder would be stubborn and pig-headed about this, except for everything he's ever done. I'm a little mystified at this point that Snyder hasn't sort of figured out that he can still make a lot of money off of this.
Right.
If he goes ahead and does the name change and everybody has to buy new Redskins paraphernalia.
Seth, that's what I don't get. Because that, in terms of cities that are rabid about their football team, Washington has to be among the top ones. And
yeah, I mean, you were here. You know what it's like.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for each of the Super Bowl wins. And they went nuts. And the other thing is that sales have dropped like 75% or 50% and on merchandising. So, either because people are thinking, okay, the name's going to change, I'll hold off, or, people are upset about the name. And so you think as a matter of economics, the money is pointing in the direction of make the change.
I would think so. And, whatever else you think about Daniel Snyder, he's a pretty good businessman. So I'm wondering what, they have access to all these numbers. They certainly know what, I'm sure they ran the model on what it would mean to rebrand and how much it would cost them versus how much money they would make. I have to think it'd be a big money maker for them. And, so they get the public off their backs. But I think there's a certain feeling that Snyder feels he needs to have a reason that he can publicly give for why he's bent to the change. And well, they're making a real, real push still. They hired an outside PR firm, and they're talking to different media organizations, and they're still making a push that Daniel Snyder is a friend of the Native American community, and he's interested in the bigger issues and not the silly name thing that you just forgot about.
And I heard one report that he was actually trying to trade it for a Super Bowl where Washington would be the host. Clearly, as long as he's owner, that I doubt the Skins are going to be going to the Super Bowl with him as owner. But
probably not. There was some talk about trying to get Washington hosted. I don't really think that DC area is well set up for that in particular, but I think it's a possibility. Now that New York went off fairly well, I think there's the thought that you can do some cold weather Super Bowls.
Right. I mean, keep in mind they had over 1 million people in January, 6 years ago when Obama was inaugurated. So, they know how to handle crowds, at least that. Now, in terms of some of the other owner controversies, which ones interest you? I don't know if you heard about Jerry Jones getting getting sued by a dancer at a strip club. And you have Jim Irsay just pled guilty to drunk driving. Bruce Levinson with the Hawks, and then let's not forget our good old Donald Sterling. Which owner do you, stands out to you as like the poster child for bad owner?
Well, I mean, there's different kinds of bad owners. I mean, Donald Sterling is sort of the extreme in so many ways. You know, he was a horrible person long before this latest controversy popped up. You know, the whole thing with him as a slumlord was sort of a well-kept secret in the NBA for years. I mean, he got sued by his own general manager, Elgin Baylor, said there's a plantation mentality.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new with him. He was at the heart. If he was the nicest guy in the world, which he's this clearly the polar opposite of, he was a horrible owner anyway. He was cheap, and he wouldn't go out and spend money. And he ended up with a good team almost by default because they got awarded Chris Paul in that weird thing where the NBA owned a team for a little while there. That's how it ended up with Chris Paul, and they lucked into Blake Griffin, and boom, all of a sudden they had a decent team through no fault of the owners.
And it's interesting because the fact that they stunk so bad is why reporters gave him a pass. They figured it's just the Clippers. Why should we break this story? It's just Sterling. No one really cares. And
I think there was a certain amount of that. You know, why am I wasting my time on this guy? I don't give a damn about him.
So my first Clipper game I went to, it was shortly after moving out to L.A. when they were still at the Sports Arena, which was a dismal kind of 1960s era arena. And, we had a season tickets pass. They were trying to get my firm to buy season tickets, so they comped us for some nice seats. And place was empty. And so I moved over just a little bit just to get closer to center court and, by Billy Crystal. And the usher came over to me and said, "Can I see your tickets?" And I said, "Come on, man, it's the Clippers." And what shocked me was he said, "Good point."
Really?
He did, yeah. And, he said, "If someone comes, you'll move, right?" I said, "Yeah, don't worry about it." And as it turns out, I had to move over one seat. But there was like 4,000 people there in the arena. And then Glenn Rice like lit them up for like 50 points that night and with Miami. And, it was just a bleak atmosphere there. And definitely them moving to Staples. And then, as you said, lucky into Blake and Chris Paul has just revitalized his franchise.
Well, I think there was a certain point where being a Clippers fan was sort of ironically cool, sort of like, I get it. It's like an inside joke that, we like this team that's just so horrible for so long.
So we only got a couple minutes left. What story do you think people would like to hear more about that people isn't being covered right now in sports?
Across the sports?
The music's playing, Scott. I guess we have to get running. If people want to follow you on Twitter, where can they find you?
It's just Scott Zucker on Twitter.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and thank you, everyone. This has been our special 150th edition where Scott Zucker gave us our insights into the NFL season and forgot to say that the Patriots will win the Super Bowl. But this is Ben and Kelly. Join us next week for another edition of Cyber Law and Business Report. Courts adjourned. Have a great week.
This has been a presentation of WebmasterRadio.fm, the world's largest business-to-business radio and podcast network. We welcome you to sample past episodes of this program, as well as our complete library of programs, on demand or on the air via our 24/7 live audio stream at www.webmasterradio.fm.